non seculo, is it back from the dead as the White House claims the work of the disinformation board will continue? We'll talk about it today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo.
So if it's pausing because you think the board was mischaracterized, then the disinformation board is being shut down because of disinformation? Is that what's happening here?
Look, I mean, the board was put forth for a purpose, right? To make sure that we really did really did address what was happening across the country when it came to disinformation.
And it's okay to wait now, 75 days.
It's just going to pause.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
And so now what we're going to do is we're going to pause it and we're going to do an assessment. But the work doesn't stop. We're still going to continue the work. The DHS is still going to continue the work.
Okay. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Peter Doocy of Fox News with the new White House press secretary really getting more information and claiming that the White House has had to, and the executive branch and the Department of Homeland Security had to shut down the disinformation governance board because of right-wing misinformation or disinformation. But don't worry, it's just been paused, and they got rid of the bad actor, right, Nina Jankowicz, who was getting all this attention. And they'll come back at some point. They're going to do an assessment. They won't give up the ability to censor you, to intimidate you, to silence your speech. And I'm here in Washington, D.C. today meeting with, as you can probably imagine if you heard the broadcast yesterday, our C4 team from ACLJ Action, since we just launched that yesterday. And we encourage you to check out ACLJAction.org because we're going to be fighting on all of these issues, fighting in the states. We'll talk about that a little bit more in the next segment of the broadcast. Thank you for those of you who did already sign up or donate to ACLJ Action. It's a separate organization. But Dad, right to you, the fact that the White House won't just again, let this die, because politically it was not a winning issue for them to have a disinformation board. People on both sides of the aisle did not like the idea of the government doing this. They just won't let it die.
Well, here's what happened. They got caught. And when they got caught, the whole idea of a governance board on misinformation and disinformation raised so many red flags and so many constitutional First Amendment issues that they wisely then say, well, we're gonna put that on pause. They got rid of Nina Jankowicz, who was causing a lot of the problems here. But it was telling what the press secretary said yesterday, and I want to play that bite if we can. She is not saying that the work of what this board is doing has stopped. Take a listen.
And so now what we're going to do is we're going to pause it and we're going to do an assessment. But the work doesn't stop. We're still going to continue the work. The DHS is still going to continue the work.
I think we are successful in dismantling their governance board. But I believe, Jordan, they will try to do this in other capacities within the framework of the Department of Homeland Security, which raises this question then. And it's timing that we've launched ACLJ Action is critical, because we can take, you know, legal action is one thing, which we're doing at the ACLJ, but now we can take action to expose this on a much broader basis through lobbying, advocacy, other kind of work.
Yeah, so why we launched ACLJ Action was exactly that. There's no restrictions on the amount of money we can spend on advocacy, but also on lobbyists. And when I say lobbyists, I mean lobbyists for you, lobbyists for our issues. We can hire these professionals to go in, write the legislation, to actually write, not just defend legally or give legal opinions, but to say this is the legislation you need to pass. So we can do that through ACLJ Action, which we just launched yesterday. It's a sister organization, so it is separate in that sense. It's not an initiative of the ACLJ. It's a separate organization, and it will require your financial support, because we can, as we said yesterday, one of the big issues with this is the governance board or this disinformation from DHS basically being distributed down through corporate America and big tech, especially the big tech content providers. At ACLJ Action, we want to go to war with these big tech content providers, these bad actors in that realm. But we need your financial support to do it. We've got the organization set up now, but we have to have your support, and we want you to join as a member. That's an important part of being a C4. It costs $25. That's the minimum to become a member of ACLJ Action. Go there, acljaction.org. Join today as a member. Donate $25. We'll be right back. Hill. This is Jordan Secchio. I'm in Washington, D.C. today at our offices on Capitol Hill. One, I will tell you, Dad, interesting note. It used to be the U.S. Capitol that was surrounded by what looked like wartime barricades. It's now the U.S. Supreme Court. Yeah. And guess who those barricades
are for?
What
does it look like?
It's not a... It looks exactly like the barricades that were around the Capitol, just a little bit, you know, not as the Capitol's, the U.S. Supreme Court's not as big, but directly across our street is our barriers that are about, I'd say, you know, I know they're taller than me, it's at least probably about 9 feet, 10 feet tall, and you've got way more police on the street, guns out. It's very quiet in Washington, D.C. I mean, you do have tourists back, but a lot of these federal agencies, they're still working from home or only in the office like one day a week. So you've got all the security in place. But of course, we saw that yesterday, almost a threat in the media that if Roe versus Wade is actually overturned, that you will see violence in the streets across America. And of course, they expect that potential violence here in Washington, D.C. I want to point out that would be left-wing actors' violence. That would be Democrat-backed violence. Because, again, and they're putting out this story, still trying to intimidate justices of the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm going to show a picture because we're also doing our second round of diplomatic training today at our office in Washington, D.C. I think, is that the photo of, because I can't see it from my screen, is that with Mike Davis? Mike was the former nominations chief counsel for the Judiciary Committee, and he was also a clerk for Justice Gorsuch. So he's doing the Article 3 portion of our training program today for foreign diplomats. That program, why we put that in place, the ACLJ, you know we do international work, so it's important for us to have these relationships with folks from all over the world, and we've got a lot of them based in Washington, D.C. But second, they come here, they want to learn how our government works. You know, it's a pretty complicated government. Some come from kingdoms. They come from these, you know, single-party systems or very bureaucratic systems that don't move like we do politically. And so they want to learn. And we want to make sure they're learning from folks who actually love our system of government and love our Constitution and appreciate what we are as a country. So in a sense, giving that America first, this is what you should strive to do, our system of government. So they are in place. That's happening while I'm on the air right now throughout the day. And we'll be hosting more of those with foreign diplomats and foreign service officers. Just today, I mean, when you go through the list of folks here that are in the office right now, right above me, Dad, as I speak, it's an impressive list. And it's a list of it just kind of gets to the fact of the amount of different kinds of folks we can have in. It's from, I would say, Angola, Argentina, to New Zealand, and so really all over the world. Japan is here, Qatar is here, Egypt is here, a lot of Latin American countries are here as well. I could go through the list later in the broadcast, but again, it shows you, too, what the ACLJ, in just one of our offices, Dad, is doing in one day. We've got ACLJ action working, we've got our diplomatic program going on, and we're bringing in experts as well, like Mike, who runs an organization called the Article 3 Project on judicial nominees, as well for these diplomats to show the kind of contacts we have in Washington, D.C.
Well, what it does is it shows the reach of the American Center for Law and Justice, which is a lot broader than going to the courtroom. And now with ACLJ action, we are able to engage in aggressive advocacy where there were limits in place on the ACLJ as a 501c3 and a 501c4. Those limits are removed. So what you've got is the ACLJ action will allow us to be more flexible and also more aggressive as we counter the left. And you really have to counter the left right now. For instance, this whole disinformation campaign that we're talking about, remember, they suspended it. But she also said in that same session, but we're still doing the work. That tells you volumes.
I want to play the sound for people so they can hear it again. This is Peter Ducey. He's just asking the question about the Disinformation Governance Board because they said how, you know, important it was. They were defending it initially, then they canceled it. So where does it stand right now? And Karine Jean-Pierre, now the new White House press secretary, this was her response. Take a listen.
So if it's pausing because you think the board was mischaracterized, then the disinformation board is being shut down because of disinformation? Is that what's happening here?
Look, I mean, the board was put forth for a purpose, right? To make sure that we really did address what was happening across the country when it came to disinformation.
And it's okay to wait now, 75 days.
It's going to pause. There's been a mischaracterizations from outside forces. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to pause it. it, and we're going to do an assessment. But the work does, the work doesn't stop. We're still going to continue the work. The DHS is still going to continue the work.
Okay. So, I mean, that's where you want to drill down on. We've got to pause it because, again, listen to the turd because I think it's important what you say. Because of mischaracterizations. They didn't want to say misinformation, so they came up with another word that means the same thing. So they're trying to say that all of us had said this is outrageous. You were putting in place a speech police, and then you cancel it a week after defending it. Now you want to bring it back, but under, you know, a different tone. And, Dad, what they want, you know, that's why our FOIA is still relevant here that we filed, is I think what they're going to do is they realize, let's not announce this time. Because that's what they did. It was a Democrat question to get out so they could announce Nina Jankowicz. They were going to make a big deal about her. She's out of the government. We've been successful there. She is no longer in the federal government. And we are successful in getting it paused. What we need to get it done is completely removed and stopped. But it's like they, even though politically it's hurting them, they won't give up on it because long term they think this will help them silence your dissent.
I think that's exactly correct. So now what you have to do is go behind what they're doing. So they dismantle the governance committee, but what are they putting in its place? So we're going to work on that with our FOIA. ACLJ Action will go with it as in dealing with it on Capitol Hill, where you are right now. And as Jordan just said, I want to reiterate this. We've got how many countries represented today, Jordan?
I'll go through the list real quick for folks. Angola, Argentina, the Central African Republic, the Czech Republic, Egypt, El Salvador, Guatemala, Haiti, Japan, Latvia, Liechtenstein, Nepal, New Zealand, Pakistan, Poland, Qatar, South Africa, South Sudan, Sweden, Switzerland, the Democrat Republic of Congo, and three folks from the European Union. All, again, just upstairs with me, and we're using our ACLJ team, some folks that people know like Than Bennett doing the legislative section, really working through our three branches of government and how it works and how the interplay there is. It's again, it's not a partisan exercise. They're coming from different countries. But what we are doing is making sure that the end of the day, with whatever flaws you see in how the U.S. government works, is that we're still the best government in the world. It's a system to thrive to. We talk to those about those rights that are guaranteed to Americans. And then you tie that into, again, while that's going on, our ACLJ action team is that's been getting the organization together over a year. We've been working on to launch this and getting all the legal structures in place, getting everything, and now that's ready to go. And that team, of course, is launching. That's here in Washington, D.C. as well. And I encourage people two things that if they signed up yesterday, which the email that went out from ACLJ was a sign-up email for the list. They got an email. They've already got it in their inbox today. So you've got it now, folks, where you can actually become a member. So a direct link to become a member. It's an email from me, so from Jordan Seculo at ACLJ Action. And you can become a member and make that $25 donation. And we've gotten questions about that. You can make that a regular donation. You can donate more. That's the minimum to become a member of ACLJ Action. And the more members we have, and that's an annual due to continue your membership, but the more resources we have, the more of these issues we can go to war, we can go to battle with. And we call it taking the gloves off because, again, we've got the ACLJ to handle all of the legal issues surrounding these big issues. What we want to do is take it into your state legislatures. And if we have the resources to take it down to your county level and city level as well, we know the first major battle we're engaging, Dad, it likely is going to be the abortion battle from state to state, the getting good legislation in place that's going to survive legal challenge and working with state legislators. We're also working on congressional scorecards so that people will know where ACLJ Action, how they rank members of Congress. And the more resources we have, the more battles we can engage, you know, for energy independence, taking on big tech. These are huge issues. And of course, the economy, these economic issues right now. But we need people to join. You can do it at acljaction.org to become a member. It's $25 donation. You can do that online right now. ACLJ Action. It is separate from the ACLJ. It's a sister organization, and it's just launched yesterday. It's had great support already, so a big thank you to a lot of folks who did already join and become a member of ACLJ Action. I encourage more people to do it today, because I think when you hear this from the White House, Dad, it just shows you why we have got to be ready for a serious battle where they try to shut down our ability to get our message out.
Yep.
That is, and really what ACLJ Action does, cuts through all of that and takes the message right into the halls of Congress using professional lobbyists working for you instead of a business interest. They were going to be working for you and into your state legislatures as well, which is something new for the ACLJ as a whole, to go right into your states, right in, even at the local level, with the legislation ready to go. We want you to join. We want you to be part of this new organization. And we've launched it for purpose, for intention, ACLJaction.org. You'll check out some of the issues we're going to engage there. Of course, the life issue and core issues to the ACLJ, but other issues as well, like going to war with big tech, ACLJaction.org. Donate $25 and become a member today. Welcome back to Secular. You know, one of the issues, ACLJ Action, right on the front of that homepage, it's a new website, too, that's launched. I would encourage you to check that out as well. We want you to join as a member. Very important, these first couple days as we launch, we want to have the resources ready to get going and get ready, and we've been preparing it for a year, getting it all set to go. We're now set to go, so we want you to join as a member. It's a minimum yearly donation of $25. You can certainly give more. We can take unlimited amounts. Again, you click to actually become a member of ACLJ Action when you make that donation. And if you go to the homepage, what you'll see is one of the issues right on top is energy independence. One thing that ACLJ Action can do is work with energy companies in America and run campaigns at the federal level, targeting members of Congress, targeting the administration, and at the state level as well and local level, to focus on allowing us to get back to drilling in America, fracking in America, making America a net exporter of energy. And so we're going to directly engage that issue. And we can do even more. The more work we can do in it is based off the resources we have at ACLJ Action. So I encourage you, Dad, as we talk yep. about these issues affecting everybody right now, you don't have to be driving diesel to see the prices that are predicted to be just out of control.
Well, a couple of the items that we're going to focus on ACLJ Action are going to include energy independence, inflation, and economic freedom. Professor Harry Hutchison is also a law and economics professor and has written extensively on these issues. Harry, let's talk about this for a moment. Would you like to start with, I guess, energy? It could be a good starting point.
I think that's correct, and I would say that energy prices, they tie into the inflation yes. run-up, and we are currently experiencing inflationary pressures that are the highest we have seen in roughly 40 years. And if you look at recent inflation indicators, they will show that on an annualized basis, we are experiencing inflation, at least at the wholesale price level, of around 14% on an annual basis. Energy prices continue to ramp up, uninhibited by Biden's policies. Natural gas, for instance, which is used for heating, electricity, and petrochemicals, have now reached a 14-year high of $8 per 1,000 cubic feet. At their peak in 2008, gas prices averaged 4.40 cents per 1,000 cubic feet in terms of natural gas prices. Crude oil prices have now reached a record level. If you look at West Texas crude, it's $123 per barrel. During the last year of President Trump's presidency, the average price per barrel was around $40 per barrel.
So it's more than doubled.
So it's more than doubled. And I think if you listen to Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, she is expecting a continued run-up in energy prices. I think California potentially will see up to $10 per gallon gas stations are already changing their signs to accommodate that possibility. Meanwhile, President Biden is doing worse than doing nothing. Right. Because he is actively inhibiting U.S. energy. He's shut down the XL pipeline. He's shut down ANWR. He's canceled oil and gas leases. And he's basically told the American people to buy electric cars. But electric cars run on what? Fossil fuel. And we've given up U.S. energy independence. So the problems continue to proliferate. And we need to take action to deal with them.
So then, Jordan, in a situation where Harry kind of laid out the problems, what does ACLJ Action then do?
So ACLJ Action can partner with, of course, our members, and it can partner with an oil and gas company to wage a grassroots campaign so that politicians making the policy here in Washington, D.C. can make those companies that are in the United States feel comfortable. You know, the Biden administration tries to say, oh, we issued these new 9,000 new permits that you can use, except for it takes years to actually cut through the red tape on that right now. So it would be saying, listen, that's talk. We say action, you know, ACLJ Action. So it's getting to actually the point where we're energy independent again. This is a self-created crisis. There's a lot going on in the world, but we could still be a net exporter of energy, but for the Biden administration's bad policies. And so there are companies, they'd be willing to do more in the U.S. if they thought they could actually get the wells open, if they thought they could actually get the permits green lighted. So when they say that they make them available, that's a multi-years long process. And so while you could say, well, don't those companies, can't they do this work on their own? No, because they need you, the voters, to put in people into office who are going to help cut the red tape. They can't do that on their own. They've got to get to voters who care about these issues. And I can't think of a time in my lifetime, I know it's happened before with the gas crisis in the late 1970s and early 80s, but that's how long it's been since it's been this bad. And I think that's why we have this unique opportunity to mobilize as ACLJ Action and work with some new companies, work with kind of some new folks to work on the issues that really affect you every single day. And you can be part of that, not just hearing about it, but you can actually be part of that by becoming a member today of ACLJ Action at aclj action.org. You join as a member. It's minimum for $25. You can certainly give more, and you can sign up to do monthly donations as well there at aclj action.org. But this is how we would combat that, is we would take this issue direct to some of the most vulnerable senators, to some of those vulnerable members of the House. They could be on the right, they could be on the left, and focus in on them. So we'd actually be targeting elected officials on this, as well as, of course, ultimately the White House. But first, you'd have to have the legislation get put in place. So cutting through that red tape and making sure the voices of the American people are heard on this issue directly, that they do want more drilling, that they do want to get energy independent. And while we're all interested in these other sources of energy and electric cars, wonderful, right now that doesn't solve our problem. That doesn't solve potential $7 a gallon gas in the United States by the end of this summer.
Harry, you know, one of the things we talked about was the inflation and the energy relation. And we only got a minute here left. How big is this inflation threat right now to the United States?
I think it's huge, and one of the main drivers is the fact that government spending has gone up dramatically. So in 2019, the federal government spent about $4.76 trillion. They are now spending north of $7 trillion. And so that's a huge influx in cash in the system, and we're not prepared to pay for it. The other thing that we can do is, as Jordan correctly points out, is we can cut red tape. We can basically take the government burden off the economy. All of us pay an inflation tax, and it hurts our most vulnerable population the worst, and the Biden administration seems bound and determined to make things worse for each and every American.
Let me encourage everyone to go over to acljaction.org. That's acljaction.org. If you can go over there and join, you can sign the email list so you can get on the email list. But for $25, you can become a member. And Jordan, we want them to be members.
Absolutely right. ACLJAction.org. Become a member of this new organization today.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo. Folks, we're taking your phone calls too. If you got questions about ACLJ Action, this new sister organization that we have just launched yesterday, and you might have missed that broadcast and been hearing about this for the first time, I encourage you to call at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. It's part of the reason why I'm here in Washington, D.C. I'm with our ACLJ Action team that we've already got ready to go. So when we launched this, it's not just to, you know, to start. We've had the team in place, and we've been building it out for a year, ready to go and launch as we did yesterday, and we want you to become a member. That's how this works. It's a 501c4 organization, which means there's no limits on how much we can spend on lobbying and advocacy. So it's a different type of organization than how the ACLJ is structured, and we encourage you to become a member of ACLJ Action. That's a minimum donation yearly of $25. So again, if you're in a financial position, you can do that. You can help launch this work into your state legislatures, the halls of Congress. But again, what the difference here, Dad, specifically, and I just want to reiterate it for folks, is that we're able to take an issue like we were just talking about energy independence. We can partner up with energy companies. But those energy companies, again, they need to get to the elected officials. Well, they know the ACLJ and our expertise, and through our broadcast, we're good at doing that. So they can utilize ACLJ Action, partnering together, and do that work. And so I encourage folks, again, we need that grassroots support. And the more support we have, the more action we can take through ACLJ Action. So it's acljaction.org. And if you did sign up for the email list yesterday, you got an email today asking you to activate your membership. So you've got that in your inbox. So we encourage you to click there and make that $25 donation. If you can donate more, that is wonderful too. ACLJAction.org. Because that's so many issues, whether it's the not giving up the disinformation board, they you know, it's still paused, but they want at some point go back to it, or the actual issues like energy, which we talk about a lot on this broadcast. So we've got Harry, who's an expert on the policy side of this. What this does is let us take that expertise on the policy side and take it right to the voters. Target a vulnerable politicians and elected officials on these issues so that when votes come up to get America back to energy independence, we've worked on writing the legislation. And we've also targeted vulnerable members of Congress who need to vote the right way for the American people. So, and so that's what we can do through ACLJ Action.
So ACLJ Action can all that done. And then if there is a challenge to the legislation, the ACLJ, as a public interest law firm, can go in and defend it. So this gives us the complete package, the complete ability, completes the circle, so to speak, of the things we can do for you and your family for generations to come to preserve America's interests, America's dreams, America First policies, but also really to not let the left just steamroll over all of us. And you saw that with the disinformation campaign. That was the attempt.
Absolutely. We are taking phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The other issue, and this just shows you the ACLJ, what we're able to do, because you don't see it all this broadcast. You can see me in a different location. But we've got folks from 22 different countries upstairs right now, and three representatives from the European Union going through our, and this is the program we put together. It's called the ACLJ International Academy, a guide to the U.S. government. And here it is right now. We bring in different expert speakers. We use our own team as well. Dan Bennett doing the portion on the legislative branch from our from the C4, from ACLJ Action. James Rockus doing executive branch, but we bring people from the outside. Mike Davis, who was the nominations chief counsel for Chairman Grassley when he was chairman of the Judiciary Committee. He was a former law clerk to Justice Gorsuch. He did the judicial branch today. We also have Oracle, one of their Oracle's director of government affairs coming in, one of their directors of government affairs coming in to do campaigns and politics for this group. So again, it just shows you all that we're doing at the ACLJ in just one of our offices, and we are expanding our work because of your support, and I encourage you to join ACLJ Action at acljaction.org. Join it today. All right, so for now, the government's and the Department of Homeland Security's misinformation, disinformation, governance board is on hold. It is being reviewed, but they want to bring it back. They want to bring it back. And you know why they had to put this pause in and they had to get rid of Nina Jankowicz? Because of mischaracterizations. Now, they couldn't use misinformation there. That wouldn't have worked, or disinformation. But what they're trying to say is that it was the right-wing misinformation that caused the disinformation board to be mischaracterized and thus have to be pause for now. But I want to go to Rick Rennell, who's our senior advisor for foreign policy and national security, because Rick, they will not give this up. The White House, on an issue that is politically damaging to them, does not want to give up the ability to potentially try and silence more American speech.
Look, everybody outside of Washington, D.C. sees what's happening. This is ridiculous. It's about dissenting information. The official line in Washington, the message from the ruling party, cannot have dissenting information. Look, we know we've taught our kids for 20 years to not be able to listen to the other side of the story, to run out of the room when they hear something that they don't like, and then to label it disinformation. It's really dissenting information, and we should push back. It's interesting, Jordan, that they don't use the word propaganda, because we all know what propaganda is. And this is not propaganda. This is a healthy debate, dissenting information from the ruling party. Nina didn't like that. We saw her videos. We saw her inability to have a discussion, but she just wanted the ruling party message to be swallowed hook, line, and sinker. And when you don't, when you dissent from what Washington, D.C. wants, they then try to cancel you.
So, Rick, you know, I'm looking at this as a real challenge on free speech. I mean, the attempt was basically to set up a board that was going to review and audit, if you will, viewpoints. I've argued a whole slew of Supreme Court cases going back all the way to the 1980s, 90s, into 2000, where the court consistently, most liberal justices of the court agreed, you cannot have government picking sides in these kind of debates. The government can provide a platform, can provide a venue, a forum for free speech, but it cannot then go in and say, we'll take this speech from this group, but not that speech, because that speech is too aggressive or it doesn't go with the main party line. So to me, if you can squelch, you know, Jordan said this yesterday, the sidewalks and the highways and the byways, and they still are public forums for free speech, and you see that in these protests going on, but the social media platforms are too. And they're not regulated the same way, obviously. True Social is at least giving us a voice that we can get our message out. Rumble, I think, the same thing, very fair to say. But these others, I mean, you're getting viewpoint discrimination on a daily basis. But if they can shut down dissent, they really win.
They want to approve our language, they want to approve our opinions, and they want to cancel us when they don't approve our opinions. And look, this is a crisis of epic proportion. We saw during the campaign of 2020, Twitter completely have a meltdown about the New York Post story, the Hunter Biden laptop. It all turned out to be true. We now see Sussman, who is going through the court system, and Robbie Mook, who was Hillary Clinton's chief of staff, admitted that Hillary Clinton just approved sending this information to a reporter who swallowed a hook, line, and sinker, and all of Washington ran with a fake news story. If you challenged that story back then, you were canceled or you were kicked off social media. This is a crisis for America. This is only accepted in Washington, D.C. as something that they can control speech, which is why they're now abandoning it, because the Biden team and Democrats were so surprised that people wanted free speech and didn't want government approving their language.
You know, Rick, yesterday we launched ACLJ Action. We've got a great, again, initial support for that. People really responded, and I thank you to all of you did. And one of the top points, one of the first things we want to be able to do with ACLJ Action, the reason why we created this new entity, is to go to war with a lot of these big tech companies, especially these content platforms, who are taking, and what they will do is take whatever this disinformation comes out of the DHS board and whatever they say and implement, because they want their Section 230 liability protections in place and they want their treatment in place the way they've been allowed to function economically. And so they're not going to question, like you just said about the media, they're not going to question it either, because they want their bigger economic protections. And we've got to go to war with that. It's why we launched, one of the reasons why we launched ACLJ Actions. We've seen the significant change in the ability to reach people through these content platforms. Even if you've got, like we do, millions of folks on your Facebook page, it's still difficult to reach them.
And Jordan, as I texted you yesterday when I heard this news, I said, count me in. I am all in. This is so exciting. One of the first things that we should do is figure out which members of Congress are taking big tech money and then also trying to shut down dissent. Because if they're taking big tech money while at the same time going after people who are posting dissenting information, these are the enforcers of fascism. And we need to call them out. We need to say, you're taking money and then shutting down dissent. This is, you know, one of the reasons why I believe first and second generation Americans have come over to conservatives and Donald Trump like never before, because they are the canaries in the coal mine for what's happening. They saw it in their country, fascism, totalitarianism, and now they're seeing what's happening in this country, where the media and big tech are colluding to shut down dissent.
Hey, Rick, I wanted to ask you a political thing here, and that is, we've had this really close Senate race in for the GOP Senate. I think both leading candidates are capable of winning the general. I think Dr. Oz is up by about 750,000 votes. Dave McCormick down about 1,000 votes. President Trump backed Dr. Oz. I've known Dr. Oz. Let me ask you this. I mean, I don't see any way in which the Republicans do not get the House. But when it comes to the Senate, what do you think? That Pennsylvania race is going to be critical, so we got to maintain a seat.
The Pennsylvania race is critical. Look, when you talk about the Senate, what you really start to do is you have to assume, and these are tough assumptions and we got to work hard for them, but you got to assume that we hold Wisconsin, we hold Ohio, and we hold Pennsylvania. And then we got to make moves. And I think the best two moves to make are Nevada, number one. Adam Laxalt's doing a great job. Yep. It looks like he's going to be able to flip that seat. And then the second seat is Georgia. So all of those assumptions, I should also put in there the assumption of holding North Carolina. So we have to hold Wisconsin, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Ohio. That's a hard proposition to win all four of those and hold those, and then go on the offense and make up ground in two other states to try to win at least one, possibly two. This is a tough map, but it's doable this year.
Yeah. Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, we knew, Rick, this was going to be it, even with the House, which I think is a very difficult question. Everybody's up for re-election. You've seen all these massive retirement waves. The Senate operates differently, so it's on these staggered, basically, different. You know, you got about 33, 34 up. You got some vacancies, some retirements, some incumbents gone. But ultimately, here, it will take a massive amount of support for those candidates to take back the Senate. Even, you know, taking for granted how it looks very good for Republicans right now, people have got to get out there in the primaries, choose the good candidates, and then get ready to unify. That's going to be very important as well. You can have tough primaries and still unify so that you can take back the Senate. Because even when you have an election that feels like it's going to go your way, like you just pointed out, it's going to be one or two states that decide who controls the U.S. Senate, who is the majority leader.
I should also add Arizona to that, because Arizona is a possible flip, and we've got a couple of good candidates. I've endorsed Jim Lehman there, and we got a couple of good candidates. But you're exactly right. We've got to go on the offense. We've got to be able to do this. I want to add one more race that recently came up, and people might be surprised by it, but there are some data pointing to the fact that Richard Blumenthal, Dick Blumenthal in Connecticut, may be in trouble. And he's having some hard times campaigning. He's had some health issues. He's looking like he might be too old to take on the responsibility and the pressure. He's had some moments where we're questioning whether or not he's all there. And so a lot of Republicans are beginning to get really excited about Connecticut. And so I would just add Connecticut as a possible surprise.
I mean, that is how, folks, and those are the kind of states, Dad, that when you add a state, when you put those in play, you're in a good spot as conservatives, as Republicans, but you've got to get to the finish line.
No question about it. And the fact is, we are now, and Rick, I appreciate everything you said as always, and appreciate your encouragement on this. But now is the time. I mean, this is a critical year. Everybody says every year is critical, but look what we're dealing with. Runaway inflation, gas prices that, look, I can afford the gas, but it is breathtaking when it's $105. I know, Rick, in California, it's worse than that. And then you got the whole situation with the war in Eastern Europe, and you think to yourself, is this Jimmy Carter 1977 all over again or worse? That's why you fight back, and that's why we formed ACLJ Action. ACLJAction.org.
Another top issue that ACLJ Action is going to be focused on is border security. And right now we are just seeing numbers that are just out of control. Already at our southern border, more than 234,000 migrants tried to cross the U.S. border in April. That is a new record, 22-year high. I think that's as long as they've probably been even keeping track like that of those numbers. And Title 43, Title 42, Dad, this is where it gets even more interesting, could go away Monday. I mean, there's a court case that could pause Title 42 from being removed, but there's no move, and that could happen this weekend, but there's no move by the Biden administration to keep it in place. So it's going to be up to whether or not a federal district court judge decides to suspend, really, the end of Title 42.
That's exactly right, and what a disaster that's going to be for our border, and that's another reason why I'm glad we have our new ACLJ Action and the ACLJ to work on it. At the same time that that's going on and you're looking at the border issues and Title 42, this just happened in the Durham trial today. So this is a breaking news item here. We'll get into it more on Monday. And that is Robbie Mook was on the stand. He pretty much was running the campaign for Hillary Clinton. He was pressed about whether the information they had gathered, this purported link between Trump and the Alpha Bank, the Russian bank, was something they wanted to get out. And he says, I don't remember the substance of the conversation, but notionally, the discussion was, hey, we have this and we want to share it with a reporter, Moak said. When pressed on how Hillary Clinton responded, Moak testified, she agreed. That is a bombshell.
Yeah, that's right. So now we know, because you could say that in these apparatuses, I've worked on three presidential campaigns. They get very big, especially if you're someone like Hillary Clinton. So it's the people at the top, like Robbie Mook, who would the very few people that have access to the candidate that way. To know when he was under oath in this criminal trial, he's going to tell the truth, and because he's not willing to go to jail over this issue either. And so what is he saying? He's saying Hillary Clinton herself approved the strategy to get this into the media and, of course, to get it to the FBI. So I think, again, there it's very important because there's a lot that you can say happened in political campaigns without the candidate themselves necessarily being directly involved. But this was, again, one you could imagine, though you had to hear it from somebody not on the right, not from the conservative world, but somebody inside that Clinton world at the highest level. He certainly was. So you've got the attorneys at the highest level, one of them on trial, and then you've got her campaign manager saying she agreed. She greenlighted this whole plan, and that is the bigger takeaway from an issue that is still really, I think, dogging our American political and election system.
No, I think that's exactly right, and obviously we're going to get into more on this because this is just breaking now, but this fundamentally went to the core of a constitutional republic's systems of elections. We talk about fairness and we talk about open and transparency, but this is, I mean, we knew when this case was going to come forward, we were going to see some things, and it's just the beginning of it. But it's gone way beyond just lying to an FBI agent, that's for sure. But I want to say something about ACLJ action and Jordan, what you're doing up there right now in Washington. You know, we've got two initiatives we've launched. We've got a third one we can't even talk about yet. But we've got two initiatives that we've launched. One is this diplomacy training program. And I want you to read for our ACLJ donors. Again, who is in attendance today?
Yeah, so this is again, it is very cool to see because we got 22 countries. And we did this, again, a couple weeks ago. We had about the same amount of countries. So this is the second time. Different countries, different folks who are there. This is just a list of people here in our office right above me right now. I think they're having lunch while I'm on the air as we speak. Angola, Argentina, Central African Republic, the Czech Republic, Egypt, El Salvador, Guatemala, Haiti, Japan, Latvia, Liechtenstein, Nepal, New Zealand, Pakistan, Poland, Qatar, South Africa, South Sudan, Sweden, Switzerland, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and three representatives from the European Union. And what we are doing is walking them through the ACLJ, we call it ACLJ International, the ACLJ International Academy's Guide to the U.S. Government. And I will tell you, what they're learning is what you would hope your kids are learning in school about how the U.S. government works, down to breaking up the three branches of government, but also the appropriations process, very important to these countries as they receive a lot of foreign aid. And some of these countries are very much in it when you talk about what's going on in Eastern Europe and also when you talk about what's going on in Asia. So again, some of these Latin American countries on immigration. We have some of their immigration officials there today. So what we are doing, the primary purpose of this is, of course, to expand our contacts for the international work that we do, which people know we've been doing for decades. But the second part of this is we know that there are other groups that would run a program like this and they'd be bashing America while they did it inside America. They want to make us more like these other countries or more like Europe. And what we do is bring in speakers who do tell them honestly how it works and some of the pitfalls of when they're working with the House and when they're working with the Senate and when they're working with the executive branch or even the leak out of the Supreme Court. We address that today in our training session.
Sure. Because that's unheard of.
But we're also giving them this viewpoint that at the end of the day, this is still the structure of government every country should strive to have. Yeah. Whether or not we love the politics and who's in control of the presidency in the House and Senate right now, this is still a constitution, these guaranteed rights, and these structures of governments that separate the powers out are still very unique to the United States and something they should strive for, whether they're a really good functioning democracy or even a country run by a king. And we've got both of those and countries that are kind of in between up there right now. And so I think at a time when, again, you've got this kind of the feeling like in Washington, D.C., which is just like they had it around the Capitol. Now it's around the Supreme Court because the decision can come in any day. And you want to, again, get to these diplomats and teach them that, you know, America is still great and our government structure is great, and we have these political battles. But then second, of course, we're utilizing these contacts because of all the international work that we do.
But, you know, folks, you've got you got representatives from the continent of Africa, Eastern Europe, the entire European Union. You've got people that are there from the Far East. You have Pakistan represented. I mean, I can just go on and on the impressiveness of this list. Eastern Europe, as we've said. And this is giving the ACLJ an impact that we never had. Jordan is effectively, I need to say this, under Jordan's leadership as the director, has taken our work and moved it to an entirely different level now. That D.C. office, which was always busy, is twice the amount of people now working there than have in the past. You see the volume of activity going on, not just in the briefs and the government affairs and the ACLJ action, but in a training program like today where you're impacting literally the entire world. Your support of the ACLJ is critical. Your support of ACLJ action is critical.
Yeah, I encourage folks today to join and become a member of ACLJ action. That team works within this office as well. And we're going to get out to the states. We're going to target those vulnerable members. We're going to do what Rick said. But we need your support. The membership is $25. So it has to. There's a minimum a donation. It's $25. You can give more than that. You can sign up to give monthly. But to become a member, which is pretty cool, of ACLJ Action, you do have to at least give $25 once a year. So we're encouraging you to do at least that if you can at ACLJAction.org. We just launched yesterday. It is a sister organization, so it is separate. And the work that we're able to do will be dependent on the resources we have. ACLJAction.org. Become a member today. We'll talk to you next week.